hear me? Is this on? It's green, but can you hear me? Crank it up a little. Doing good? All right. You what? All right. I can't hear you, so this one's plugged. I don't know why. I pulled it in and out and in and out. Still not working. So Gary asked me to do Good Friday again. Must have impressed him last year, I guess. So you know, what do you do for a Good Friday or for an Easter? Since most of us have heard this story years and years and years, and yet you want this to be something that is impactful and something that will. What you'll remember, you know, something that will touch your heart. So I'm going to gamble here a little bit tonight, and we'll call it a historical dramatic reading, okay? So what I've basically done is taken the four Gospels, mushed them all together from Thursday night to Friday night, and put it in a little 10-minute message. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of history and a lot of things that actually happen. And we're going to look at it from a disciple's point of view, what he's thinking, what he's seeing, what's going through his mind. Now, we're not going to mention what that disciple was because I have no clue who that disciple was. And remember, this is a dramatic reading. So, and then I'll comment a little bit about it at the end. I almost ask you to dim the lights, but, you know, I wouldn't be able to see. All right. It was a Passover meal with Jesus in the upper room. This wasn't the first Passover celebration with Jesus, but this one was more somber, more serious. Jesus, always teaching, always opening our eyes to the Scriptures. What amazing insight. Never had a rabbi taught like this man. But this Passover, Jesus was troubled by something. He laid aside his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around him. He humbled himself, and he washed our feet. He spoke about going away where we could not go. He spoke of betrayal. He talked of Peter denying him. He sent Judas away. Where was he going? Did they have a plan? Was Jesus getting ready to become king? Not even a week ago, the people were cheering him. They were praising him. They were welcoming him. And then he spoke of a new command, of loving each other as he had loved us. And he spoke of the Father and of preparing a place for us. Will we rule with him in this kingdom? He spoke of another counselor to be with us when he is away. But then we'll see him again. Well, where is he going? To get an army? Does Jesus have an army? He spoke of laying down one's life for his friends. Are we getting ready to take his kingdom by force? Will some of us die fighting for him? He spoke of being hated, persecuted. Again of him leaving to the Father and then coming back again. He must have an army. He must be going to get an army. He said, we will scatter. Are we to hold things for him here while he is gone? Are we to, when he's gone? Then he prayed for us. And what a prayer, a long prayer. He prayed all sorts of things to the Father for us. And then we left for the garden. Jesus went off to pray. And he asked us to pray also. But it was late. We were tired. We fell asleep. And Jesus came back to him. I've never seen him so troubled. I've never seen him so bothered. And he asked us to stay awake and pray, and he went off again to pray alone. fell asleep again. And then suddenly there were soldiers there, and Pharisees and others, and they came with torches and with weapons, and Judas was leading them. Was Judas bringing the army? Was Judas bringing the people to fight for the Lord, to take his kingdom by force? All of a sudden, chaos broke out. Fighting broke out. They came to take Jesus, and Peter took out a sword and lashed out, and he cut off somebody's ear. And things were just chaotic. And suddenly, Jesus spoke. Everything stopped. Jesus reached down and picked up the ear because Peter had lashed out and cut off somebody's ear. And Jesus put that ear back on and healed him. What's going on? Suddenly they took Jesus away. The soldiers took him away. Judas had betrayed him, like he said. Judas looked at us. Judas went away quickly. And all of us, we scattered, like he said. We ran out of fear. We left him alone. Later, we looked on from a distance. We came and we saw, and there was Peter in that yard where Jesus was. Peter was cursing and swearing and saying he never knew him. And then Peter ran away, weeping. And then the soldiers, mocking Jesus, they blindfolded him. They beat him. They spat on him. What was happening? It wasn't supposed to be like this. He was supposed to be our king. And they took him away to Pilate. We followed, and from there they took him to Herod, and then eventually he got back to Pilate again. By now a crowd had gathered outside, and they were crying to crucify him. Pilate gave up. He had him flogged. The soldiers beat him and mocked him more. They put a crown of thorns on. They pressed it down on his head. And a purple robe, and they paraded him around, and they beat him more and more. And the people yelled to crucify him louder and louder. Finally, Pilate gave him over to be crucified. And they made him carry this cross. He was so weak from the beatings, I could hardly recognize him. And they nailed him to that cross. It wasn't supposed to be like this. He was supposed to be our king. And it grew darker and darker. And Jesus had been hanging there for hours. And then Jesus cried out. And the earth shook. And Jesus was gone. Jesus was dead. It wasn't supposed to be like this. He was going to be our king. And we saw someone taking him down and preparing his body for burial, wrapping it in linen cloth, put him in the tomb. We scattered again. Were we next? Are the soldiers coming for us? It wasn't supposed to be like this. But we know the story. We know what happened. Gary gets to talk about that on Sunday. But at that time, Jesus' disciples, they were stunned. They were afraid. They were unsure. They were expecting something completely different. They were expecting for Jesus to rule, to reign, and to bring that kingdom into where they were. They were going to be somebody. They were going to be part of Jesus' entourage or part of his ruling authority. The thing changed tremendously in that night. They had no clue what was going on. They couldn't figure it out. They were having this supper with Jesus, and all of a sudden, the soldiers took him away, nailed him to a tree. Jesus died. We know how this book ends. They didn't. They hadn't written it yet. But they would. And they would get to see the Sunday that was coming, too, shortly after that. But at that time, they were afraid. Their world was mixed up. They did not know what was going on. But not one of those disciples who whom the Father had given Jesus was lost. Only one was lost, and that was Judas. And that was Scripture fulfilled. But not one of those disciples was lost. Not a one. Jesus had prayed for them. Every one of them right now are in that kingdom with Jesus. But our books aren't finished yet. We haven't had all of our, it wasn't supposed to be like this moments, or we've all had them. We haven't had them all yet. We all haven't had, or we haven't had, it wasn't supposed to be like this moments completely. There's sickness, there's death, there's divorce, there's loss of work, unfinished plans, unfulfilled dreams, a flat tire, broken fingernail. Who knows what those are? But we do know that there's a lot of heartbreak in the world and a lot of disappointment in this world and a lot of it wasn't supposed to be like this moments in this world. There are times when we're stunned and times when we're unsure, times when we're afraid. But just like Jesus praying for those disciples, Jesus prayed for us also. And in John chapter 17, I'm just going to read a couple of short verses in there. But I would say if you have a chance this weekend to read John chapters 13 through 17, it's this block from the Last Supper up until his crucifixion. And it's just tremendous, especially reading in there about Jesus praying for us. It's just a great read, especially now, this time of the year. But in Jesus, or in John chapter 17, verse 6, it says, let's see if I want to start before that. I'll just start with 6. I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. In verse 9, it says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. In verse 13, now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy complete in them. So that we might have that joy complete. I don't think that joy is complete yet. I think we have a lot of joy, but I don't think it's complete yet. So I look forward to that. In verse 15, I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. That's 15 and 16. We're going to stay here until it is that time to go. And in that time that we're here, he's going to protect us. It may not be one of those moments that we're expecting. It may not be one of those that wasn't supposed to be like this moment. It may be like one of those. It's not supposed. But if it's God's will, if he's protecting us, whether it's his time to take us home in that time or his time to keep us here in that time, it's for him. In verse 20, it says, I pray not only for these, and here's where we come in, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. Verse 23, and I'll put part of 24 in there as well. I am in them, and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the world's foundation. Jesus has left us, but he's not left us alone. He's proven that time and time again, that we can put our trust in him. And he will not forsake us. We have the greatest king anyone could possibly imagine. And we have someone who has not and will not leave us alone. There are times, I mean, if you look at Ukraine right now, if you look in the Middle East right now, those times are coming. Things are getting as bad as they have ever gotten and that I've ever seen. And daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, it's just unbelievable how things have changed. Unbelievable how things have changed. I just couldn't imagine 10 years ago that things are like they are now. What's right is wrong, what's wrong is right, what's up is down, what's left is right, what's right is left. Just completely opposite. Which things that were just normally accepted are looked down upon. It's just very strange. It's strange. It's just weird. It's mixed up. And it literally, you cannot understand it. I mean, you look at it and you see it and it makes zero sense the way things are happening out there. But Jesus has not left us alone. He is with us. He has sent the Comforter. He has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. It's not my place to speak of what happens. Gary gets to talk about that on Sunday. So I'm going to finish here and leave chapters 17 and 18. Should I pray? Then are we going there, or are you doing that? We got a couple more songs. All right, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for what you plan, for what you've done for us in sending Jesus to die for us, that we might be presentable before you, because on our own we are not worthy. We are not capable to come before you and claim that we are sinless, to claim that we have not broken your law. Lord, we are guilty. And instead of us taking the penalty for that, Jesus took that penalty for us, so that we might be you forever, so that we might be with him forever. He is our king. He will rule and reign forever, and we will be with him someday. But Lord, we trust you as you have sent us the Holy Spirit to be with us now, to give us the confidence, to give us the assurance that we are not alone and you will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, that you will take care of us. Your will be done in our lives. I just pray, Lord, that we will remain faithful to you. We will be worthy in your eyes to take whatever you have to give us, Lord. I just pray that we will honor you in doing so. Just thank you for this evening. We pray your blessing on the rest of it as we go here.